big brood of cicadas, yes. The big box.
Yes, Casey, I have heard that, and it scares me to death.
You've had a run-in with cicadas before.
Yes, we detailed on this show the last time these things were a thing. One got in my house. It was an hour-long standoff. It attempted to assassinate me. It then hung up on my fan for over an hour. I sprayed it with bleach, with Lysol, with Pledge, and finally it died a slow and hopefully miserable death.
Okay, well, I don't know if you should be afraid of cicadas or not. And to find out that information, we've got a lady, a woman, a person, an expert.
Yeah, normally say we have a guy, but in this case we have a lady. And her name is Dr. Elizabeth Long, and she is, if anybody could be an expert in cicadas, she would be that. She's an assistant professor from the Department of Entomology at Purdue University. All right, Elizabeth, how afraid should I be of the cicadas this time around?
You should not be afraid. There you should not be afraid because they can't sting or bite, and they're just clumsy.
So that cicada was not trying to kill me a couple years ago. He was just clumsy and had no idea what he was doing.
Exactly.
So they're just big and scary looking.
They are very strange looking, but yeah, they have no defense really. So, yep, they're just coming out to live their short adult life, as amazingly as they can.
Okay, so tell us about this. Why are some years they a thing? Some years they're not a thing? Are they always there and we just don't recognize it? Tell us about the cicadas.
Yes. So, okay. So in answer to the first part of your question, cicadas actually appear every year. Obviously, there's multiple species, just like, there's so many more insects that we could possibly name and imagine. But there's an annual cicada that we see usually, late May, early June, or maybe a little bit later into June every year. And it's a large green and black cicada. You hear them in the summertime. These periodical cicadas, though, they're different because they're much smaller, but importantly, they live a long time, but most of their life is spent underground. So these immatures are underground feeding on trees' roots for 13 years or 17 years, and then they emerge, 13 or 17 years later mm-hmm. as the adult form.
Okay, so these cicadas, they're alive and they're underground right now.
But absolutely.
Okay, we're just not aware of them. So why are they coming up every 13 or 17 years? What is drawing them above ground?
Yeah, so they are, of course, they've evolved. This life strategy or life history strategy works really well for them. The key cues that they're using to kind of wake up or emerge are things like soil moisture, but also soil temperature. And I'm not sure that we understand completely how the insects get this cue and how they all synchronize, right? It's amazing, but somehow they know it's been 13 years, it's been 17 years, it's time. I got to come out and live my life while I can.
All right, Dr. Elizabeth Long is our guest. She's an assistant professor from the Department of Entomology at Purdue University. We're talking about these cicadas. All right, so what, are there two we got to deal with this year? Is that two, they call them broods?
Yes, there are two broods, and the difference between the broods is how long they live underground. So it's a little bit confusing, but brood 19 is actually a 13-year cicada. So they've been underground for 13 years. When they emerge, it'll be 13 years since they last saw the sun, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And then brood 13 is a 17-year brood, so they've been underground even longer.
So wait, 19 is a 13-year, 13 is a 17-year?
That's right. Is it confusing enough?
Whoever labeled these really needs to find a new line of work because that is very... What do they do underground? Like, what do they just plot on how they're going to get into my house and ruin my day? What do they do for all these years?
They're actually much less troublesome underground. They're just down in the soil, really pretty close to trees' roots, and their mouth parts are stuck in there. They have straw-like, piercing, sucking mouth parts, and they're just making a very peaceful, quiet, dark living on plant sap.
Well, what parts of Indiana are we going to get 19 and 13? Everywhere?
Not everywhere. So if you remember back in 2021, that was a huge emergence throughout the state. and this year, it's going to be much more restricted. So we're going to see mostly in the northwest part of the state, and some of the southwestern counties in Indiana have one or a little bit of both broods. And so, for example, brood 19, again, that's the 13-year brood. If you're in Posey County, Warwick County, that's down in the southwest, Newton and Jasper County, I guess I'll just list them all, Lake Porter and LaPorte County, you may see brood 19 emerge there if you're in an area where there's good tree stands. So where there's lots of trees, because obviously that's how they survive. If the trees aren't there, they won't emerge. And brood 13, the 17-year brood, they'll be emerging in fewer counties, mainly in the northwest part of the state. That's LaPorte, Lake, and Porter counties.
So what do we have to worry about here in central Indiana?
Not much, really. I mean, I guess the only thing you might worry about is missing out on this amazing event, the double brood emergence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people are traveling all around the country to be part of this.
It's so like the eclipse.
It's really a natural wonder.
You've got to be kidding me. Like, this is Eclipse 2.0 where people are driving across the country to see these little boogers?
Yes, I love that. Eclipse 2.0. That's a great way to think about it.
You can use that. We will just take a small percentage of whatever profits you get from that, Elizabeth. By the way, Dr. Elizabeth Long is our guest. She's an assistant professor from the Department of Entomology at Purdue University. Okay, so you said even though this one in 2021 was clearly attempting to take my life, you claim they're not harmful to people. However, what about like animals? What about vegetation? Are these cicadas harmful to anything? Is there anything people should be aware of?
Yes. Yeah, so I always like to tell people that they don't harm you, us adults. They won't harm your kids. They won't harm your pets, although lots of dogs and cats and other animals like to eat them. Apparently, they're delicious.
We went through that. Yeah, Elizabeth, we went through that as well in 2021, where every time my bulldog would go out, he would come back in with one of these things in his mouth.
Right. Apparently, they're delicious. But the good news is, you know, they won't get sick from eating them. I mean, I guess there's always a chance if they eat too many, maybe they get a little too full, but no harm there. The real concern is maybe for folks who have maybe a landscape business or vineyards, a nursery. So any kind of younger woody shrubs or trees that have a stem or a branch diameters between 3/16 to 7/16 of an inch. Those plants are vulnerable to specifically the females. So they're coming out, of course, for a short time to mate and then lay their eggs. And the females actually lay their eggs in these stems, preferentially in this kind of smaller size. I like to think of it probably about the size of your finger or so. And so she stabs into the branch to lay her eggs, and that can cause significant damage, especially to young trees. So if you planted a young tree in your landscape, you might want to put some netting over it if you're in one of these counties where you know, we're predicting to see an emergence. But that's the main threat that they pose.
So when they come out, how long will they be here, and when can we expect this to begin?
Yes, so they will probably start emerging the last part of May or so and into the beginning of June. Then we're going to really see an increase in their emergence, kind of a bell-shaped curve, and then you'll see things start to taper off again. So all said and done, you'll probably see them for about a month, and then they'll be gone. And the beginning of that, you know, 1 month period, there'll be fewer. It'll peak kind of, you know, right towards the middle of that month, and then towards the end, they'll kind of be gone, and they'll, you know, drop back into the ground and start the process over again.
Okay, so they're not going to die when they come out. They're just going to go back underneath.
Right. So when they emerge, so out of the ground, if you see their little kind of cast shells that they leave behind, like back in 2021, because there were so many of them. They come out of the ground, they're still nymphs, they have to molt, then they get their wings, and that's how they know they've made it to the adult stage. And then they fly around, they mate, the females will lay the eggs, and little small nymphs will hatch out of those eggs and fall into the ground, and then they'll burrow down, and they'll live down there feeding again on the roots of grass originally, and as they get older, they'll burrow farther and farther down, getting to the tree roots, and they'll be under there for 13 to 17 more years.
All right. Before we let you go, by the way, Dr. Elizabeth Long is our guest. She is everything cicadas, and she's her official title is not everything cicadas, but she knows everything about cicadas. She is an assistant professor from the Department of Entomology at Purdue University. Hey, before we let you go, we got in a discussion the other day about this. It seems like there are far fewer lightning bugs in central Indiana than when I was a kid. Now, I grew up next to a field. That field's now been developed. Am I just imagining this, that there are fewer lightning bugs, or is there actually something to there being fewer lightning bugs because of large-scale development that's taking place in central Indiana? Or you can say, Rob, you're totally full of it.
No, I think you're right. They're just like with many other insects. I mean, we've all probably heard a lot about the bees and the threats that they're facing in our planet or on our planet. It's very much the same for the fireflies or the lightning bugs. Things like development, like you mentioned, that removes habitat, you know, that the beetle larvae need to survive before they can emerge as an adult. So in looking at the literature across the world, actually, there's agreement that the species or some species of dragonflies, wrong word, the lightning bugs, are in decline. And so I think we're seeing that again because of the same risks that they face as other insects. So insecticides, habitat loss, light pollution, apparently, which makes sense if you think about it, because they're out at night and they're flashing to communicate. If you're in an area with lots of light or not turning lights off at night, that can make it hard for them to find each other and mate. So that's some of what I see the research is suggesting is contributing to declines in the fireflies.
Just another example, Casey, of how this irresponsible growth is destroying society. Now they've got the lightning bugs.
I can't believe Dr. Long. Rob will be unbearable now because you have proven him right on another topic, this time lightning bugs. That's amazing. Well, we appreciate all of your expertise in regards to the cicadas and all things bugs. And if we have any more bug questions, can we call you in the future?
Of course.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Long. This is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.